Maisers, Perikei Mishnehei. We now talk about food that's growing in the land of Syria. Syria is effectively modern-day Syria, geographically, to the north of Israel. And Syria, in the First Temple period, was conquered by David HaMelech's troops, but not after Eretz Yisrael had been conquered. It was conquered by like his proletariat private troops, and that being the case, it doesn't have the same status as the rest of Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's part of Israel politically, but doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvahs Tulis Ba'aretz, like Trumas and Maaseros, actually are not incumbents upon produce from that land, Midoraisa. Much like today, the city of Eilat is in the political entity called Israel under Jewish control, but certainly Midoraisa, the land of the city of Eilat, whatever, it's not part of Eretz Yisrael, and the mitzvahs aren't Tulis Ba'aretz. Midoraisa, things that grow there don't need to be tied, etc. Midoraisa. Now, so our mission is going to talk about Syria, and the rule is that produce from Syria is exempt from tithing midoraisa, but midorabanan, if it Jewish produce from Syria, must be tithed. Our mission will consider what happens if it's not necessarily Jewish produce, it's non-Jewish produce. So now, before we read the Mishnah, non-Jewish produce can be one of two things. It could mean that a non-Jew owns the land, and of course he owns, therefore, the produce on the land, and he's selling that produce, and that would be non-Jewish produce, and certainly that's exempt. But it also could be that the non-Jew owns the land, but a Jew purchased the produce while still attached to the ground. And that being the case, it's not so clear if that's considered to be Jewish produce or not Jewish produce. So we'll differentiate between that, at least according to one of the sheets of the Mishnah. But first, our Mishnah is going to consider when you buy produce that's in the ground, and it had belonged to a non-Jew, but now a Jew is taking over. And at least in the first part of the Mishnah, the Jew is taking over buying the land itself and the vegetables therein. The question is, are those vegetables still chayv and tithing if when he purchased the vegetables, they already had passed the stage of onus on maestros? So here the Mishnah says inside, Halokeach stei yarek besuria. If a person, a Jew, purchases a field of vegetables from a non-Jew in the land of Syria, meaning to the north of Israel, where there's no chiyav midoraisa, but there's a chiyav midorabanan. But he's now purchasing vegetables that are already like beginning to grow. So the Mishnah differentiates according to the Tanakhama, im ad shlo bala onasa maisras, if when the Jew purchased the land, the little carrots growing inside it aren't yet reaching the stage of onasa maisras, so then it became a Jewish field, and when the carrots grow enough to reach onus amaisras, they're Jewish-owned carrots that cross that important threshold of onus amaisras, and therefore midorabanan, it's a Jewish field and Jewish produce in Syria, which is therefore midorabanan chayev in the trumas amaisras. But mishabal onus amaisras, if the Jew purchased this field when the carrots therein were already past the stage of onus amaisras, and the important cutoff point where the chiyev to have requirements of tithing kicked in, and at that point when they kicked in, when the carrots in the field crossed the threshold to become subject to tithing requirements, it was owned by a non-Jew and therefore exempt. So when a Jew buys the carrots after that stage, or the land with the carrots in it after that stage, so then patur, then those carrots are exempt from tithing requirements because they really were non-Jewish owned in, not in Israel. The Mishnah therefore goes on to say, "V'loket k'darko b'holech." He can go right ahead and harvest in his normal way, and there's no requirement to tithe. But this means he himself, meaning the farmer, because that's the shita of the Tanakhama, in contrast to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Af yiskor polav v'yilkot." Rabbi Yehuda says, not only he, but also his workers can harvest these carrots, or whatever the vegetable is that's growing, and there's no problem. Meaning, according to the Tanakhama, if a person hires a third party to harvest the vegetables that he purchased when he purchased the field after the time of onus amaisras, so then, according to the Tanakhama, the rabbis were concerned that onlookers would think that this produce actually is subject to the tithing requirements, and so those to make a heker to differentiate, people should realize that this field might have been special because it was purchased, happened to be purchased, and the year it was purchased by the Jew it already had passed onus of maestros, so it has special status to make a hekra, so we differentiate between if he the owner of the field harvests and plucks those carrots, or if a third party. So Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter, there's no hekra required. Tanakama says yes, there is a hekra required. If he harvests it exempt, harvest these carrots that he purchased after onus of maestros from the non-Jew in Surya, but if he gets someone else to harvest it, they still will be required to be tithed midrabanan. Now, I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to differentiate between, as I said before in the introduction here, between the possibility of buying the land and the vegetables therein, and simply buying the vegetables. So he's going to say, listen, if you buy just the vegetables and the land remain non-Jewish land, and we're talking about Surya, so according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the whole thing's a non-starter. That's considered to be non-Jewish produce. When a Jew buys vegetables from a non-Jew, if they're attached to the ground, who cares? They're totally exempt from tithes. It doesn't matter if you bought it before or after onus maestros, because even if it's before onus maestros, these carrots are growing in a non-Jewish field and not in Israel, so it doesn't get off the ground. The only time it gets off the ground is if he bought the land itself. In which case, then he agrees if you buy the land, so then if when you bought the land, the carrots were ready to pass onus maestros, it's exempt, and before onus maestros, it would be chayv. Like the Tanakhama. So therefore the Mishnah says inside, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, B'med Devar Mamurim, when does what we said before apply, that there's a possibility that the carrots that you purchased in the middle of a growth cycle from a non-Jew in Surya are subject to tithing requirements if you buy them before Onus and Maestros? That's Bizman Shekana Karka. That assumes you bought not just the carrots before Onus and Maestros, but you bought the land itself, making it a Jewish field in Surya. Avul Bizman Shlo Kana Karka. If you didn't buy the land, all you're buying is these little nascent carrots, then Im Ad Shlo Bal Onus HaMaisras, even if you purchased the carrots prior to reaching Onus HaMaisras, so when they cross that critical threshold of reaching Onus HaMaisras, you own them and you're a Jew. So what, says Rabbi Gamliel? You're a Jew and you own them, but you own them in Surya, and not only that, but the land that they're growing doesn't belong to you, it belongs to a non-Jew. So the whole thing's exempt, they're all Pater. And in fact, halacha follows Rabban Shimon Gamliel that if a non-Jew owns land in Surya, it doesn't matter when a Jew buys the carrots therein, they're exempt from tithing requirements. Okay, now the last part of the Mishnah is a little confusing because we have Rebbe arguing, but Rebbe's not arguing on Rabban Shimon Gamliel. He's actually arguing on the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah, which we said that you're buying the produce after onus maestros, then it's exempt. So Rebbe holds af lefi cheshbon. He says everything is according to the proportion, according to the ratio. Meaning what? He says, listen, of course, when you bought these carrots and they were half grown, so then they mean they, because that's, for argument's sake, say that carrots are at a third of the growth are considered to be have reached onus maestros. So they're half grown. So they're past onus maestros. They're exempt from tithing. So when the deadline, the critical moment happened, a non-Jew owned these carrots. So the Tanakhama says, then forevermore, they're exempt from tithing. Rebbe here in the Mishnah says, not necessarily. He says it's true that when they grew in the non-Jew's hand, they were exempt because they were non-Jewish. But now they're owned by a Jew. The growth that happens while the Jew owns these carrots must be tithed. So you have to make a cheshbon. You have to calculate. You have to figure, listen, if, you know, half of the carrot grew when I owned it and I'm a Jew, so then, according to Rebbe, you'll have to give, like, tithe on 50% of the total volume that came out the ground, because like at least proportionally half of each carrot grew after you owned it, and that means half of each carrot is subject to tithing requirements. That's Rabbi Yishita, and the halacha does not follow him. Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you only need to tithe produce from Surya if a Jew owns a land, and even then only if he bought it before onus maestros, and the Gra at least paskins, not the Rambam and the Bartono don't say this, but the Gra at least paskins that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, meaning in the event that you do purchase this foodstuff in the ground after, and you're purchasing the ground itself after onus maestros, so then not only you but even your workers can work the land, harvest the vegetables, and there's no problem, there's no requirement to tie them in such a scenario.